fixed field of characteristic zero. And I'll try to avoid writing down any formulas, but if I do, they definitely won't have the right signs, so be warned. So let me start with some motivation. So what is quantization in a sort of very mathematical picture from which any physics has been excised? You might say that it's sort of a procedure where you start with a Poisson algebra, say over the K, called A, and you want to somehow construct an associative algebra, and I hat, over K brackets H bar, such that if you take, you can recover this Poisson algebra by setting H bar to be zero, you recover the commutative algebra A with a Poisson bracket, sort of defined in some sense by taking the limit as H bar goes to zero of the commutator bracket of A and B over H bar. So, K is not really a place where you can take limits because it's completely algebraic, but there'll be, later in the talk, there'll be a more reasonable algebraic way of doing this. So then you can also set H bar equal to 1 and recover just an associative algebra of K. So you might call this Poisson algebra you started with the classical observables. And then this associative algebra you get by setting H bar equal to 1 is, you might call, the quantum observables. So a very basic example of this kind of idea is if you start with some vector space k to the n, then you can have a Poisson algebra. The classical observables would be the polynomial algebra on two n generators, x1, y1, up to xn, yn, with a Poisson bracket determined by saying that the bracket of xi and yj should be delta ij, and the xi, xj is 0, yi, yj, fj is 0, and then the you can quantize that to the associative algebra where you have kh bar. You take the free associative algebra of the same generators, and you mod out by the relation that the commutator bracket of xi and yj is delta ij times h bar, and so on. Like the xi and xj should commute with each other, and the yi and yj should commute. So, and you can think of the procedure that associates to the vector space these two algebraic structures as a sort of composite in the following sense. Think of this process as composite we start with a vector space over the base field K, and then you form a vector space with an anti-symmetric pairing. So if we start with V, then we will assign to it kind of the cotangent bundle of V, namely in this linear case is V plus its dual space, equipped with kind of the standard symplectic form on the cotangent bundle. And then from this, we can construct a Lie algebra. So if we have some object here, say W equipped with an antisymmetric pairing omega, then we can send that to the so-called Heisenberg Lie algebra of W omega, which is W plus a one-dimensional vector space. I'll call the basis vector C. And the Lie bracket is given by V, V prime in W. Their bracket is going to be omega of V, V prime times C. And C is a central element, so it commutes with everything. So then, from this Lie algebra, you can construct what you can construct. So I can start with V and assign to it V plus V dual with the kind of canonical symplectic pairing. That's an object here. And then W is kind of an arbitrary object in this category, and I can assign this Lie algebra to it. So I can make an associative algebra by just taking the enveloping algebra of my Lie algebra, and then I have this element C, so I want to set that equal to 1, the unit in the associative algebra, and I can make it plus 1 algebra by taking basically just sim of my Lie algebra and equipping it with the obvious Poisson bracket coming from the Lie bracket. And then there's something you can put in the middle here, like that forgets to both of these, and this sort of lives over k bracket h bar, and here we set h bar equal to 1, and here we set h bar equal to 0. So I don't want to spell out exactly what category should live here, but you know, you could either think of the universal enveloping algebra with its length filtration, or you could make some kind of h bar version of U, where you take U h bar G to be the free associative algebra on G, join h bar, and then you mod out by the relation that xy minus yx is the bracket in G but times h bar. So if we set h bar equal to 1, that obviously recovers the enveloping algebra, and if you set h bar equal to 0, then that obviously gives you the symmetric algebra on G. It's actually staying down. Right, so I stated all this in terms of vector spaces, but obviously you could replace vector spaces by chain complexes and do the same kind of constructions. But when you consider chain complexes, there are also kind of different variants of this picture you can consider. I mean, you could imagine having, instead of just having an antisymmetric pairing of degree 0, you could have a pairing of degree n, and then you could make a shifted Lie algebra and a shifted Poisson algebra, and then you can consider replacing the associative algebra with an EN algebra. So I want to think about sort of the simplest version of that picture, which is what I want to label BV quantization, in quotes, because I'm not necessarily claiming to know anything about BV quantization in physics, but to the vague, in the same sense as this is a picture of quantization, a picture of BV quantization is you start with a one-shifted Poisson algebra. So just meaning that it's a Poisson algebra, but the bracket has degree 1, and so I'll call that a P0 algebra. And you want to quantize that to an E0 algebra. In other words, just a pointed chain complex. And so then you can imagine an analog of this kind of construction that I described here. So this should look like following. Well, I could start with chain complexes over K and go to chain complexes with a degree 1 antisymmetric pairing. I'll call the category of these quad 1 of K for quadratic spaces degree 1. And so if I start with the chain complex, I could take the shifted cotangent bundle, which boils down to V plus V dual shifted by 1. And then again, I could make a one-shifted Lie algebra by doing exactly the same thing. I take W equipped with omega, and I send it to kind of a one-shifted version of the Heisenberg Lie algebra, which is again just V with a one-dimensional vector space added. This is in degree 0, and then you have a one-shifted pairing coming from the pairing omega. So you have a one-shifted Lie bracket coming from omega, given by the same formula. Yes. So now you can make an E0 algebra out of this by, instead of the universal enveloping, we can take the Chevalier-Eilenberg chains on the Lie algebra. And again, we want to set C equal to 1. By 1 meaning the unit. So what do I mean by Schoeleinberg? I mean that I can take sim of G. So usually you shift G to get when you do Schoeleinberg, but since G was 1 shifted here, we don't have to shift it. And then you modify the differential by saying that d of x tends to y is, you know, it's dx tends to y plus x tends to dx dy plus the bracket. Or I can make a P0 algebra, a one-shifted Poisson algebra, by just taking the symmetric algebra, my Lie algebra, again setting C to be 1. And now there is something really nice we can put in the middle here, which is called a BD algebra. So, and again, this lives over KH bar. And if we set H bar equal to 0, we recover P0 algebras. And if you set H bar equal to 1, we get E0 algebra. So,
the Schoeleinberg chains, before you do anything to C, I guess it's just a commutative algebra.
It is, but I guess the differential doesn't respect the multiplication. So, yeah.
But you killed the co-algebra structure? You just ignored the co-algebra.
I guess at this point, yes, I ignore the co-algebra structure.
E0 algebra means algebra but no commutativity?
No, it just means you have a base point. Like an E0 algebra is the chain complex equipped with a map from the base ring K.
Okay, so no algebra structure at all?
No, yeah. So
is a
plus one algebra with a bracket but of degree plus one. So the idea for these BD algebras, so the algebras for the BD operad, which was defined by Bailenson and Drinfeld, hence BD, they actually call them BV algebras, but this also means something else, so I guess the name BD operad is becoming common. So what does this operad have? Well, it's generated by a commutative product, say dot, and one-shifted Poisson bracket, this is an operad over the ring KH bar. And then there's a relation which says that if I take in the chain complexes of operations in the operad, if I take D of the commutative product, I get H bar times this shifted Poisson bracket. And so this, you know, if you say what this means in terms of the elements of the algebra, it means that if I take D x tends to y. Now there should be signs. I get h bar times the bracket. So if I set h bar equal to 0, so I tensor with over k h bar with k in the way that sets h bar equal to 0, then I just kill this. This relation just disappears, and I recover just the Poisson 0 operad, because, you know, I have the commutative product and the Poisson bracket and no relation, so it's P0. Or I can set h bar equal to 1. And then this says that the d of this commutative product is this bracket, but that means that, you know, they both just cancel out and you get something that's equivalent to the E0 operad. So this kills everything except the unit for the commutative product.
Gerstenhofer is exactly the same thing, but just minus 1 instead of 1, right? The bracket is should be minus 1 as opposed to plus 1?
Yes. Yeah.
Why isn't this exactly the same thing, but just call degree I before degree minus I?
You want to identify, you want to make it Z2 greater? If you make it Z2 greater, you can identify the plus and minus.
If you fix the chain complex and you're asked for an action of this or that operat on it, why one of them may exist and the other might not, for the view reasons.
Okay. So
the notion of homological versus cohomological, right? That's a correct convention.
Okay, so now there's also a canonical functor from Lie algebras to BD algebras. It's kind of the left adjoint to a map of coming from a map of operands, which is called the enveloping BD algebra, N of D. Then you could imagine that sort of a naive version of this kind of construction would be, well, first guess at what it should be doing is instead you take your quadratic space W omega and you send it to env BD of the Heisenberg 1 of W omega. But problem with this is that, you know, we want to be working with chain complexes. We want to make constructions that are well behaved under quasi-isomorphisms, and so this env BD, this will be a left Quillen functor, but this guy is not cofibrant, so this construction doesn't necessarily behave well when you take you replace W by something quasi-isomorphic to it. So we have to do something. So that's one issue. And so the kind of the goal is to implement this construction in a homotopically meaningful way. So what we want to get is implement this as a symmetric monoidal functor of infinity categories. So I'm going to use script letters to indicate infinity categories. So something from quad 1 of k to Li 1 of k to BD algebras of k, and then P. So this has a symmetric monoidal structure coming from the direct sum, and this should have one coming from the direct sum 2, and this one should have one coming from the tensor product, and the same for these guys. So now I want to tell you a bit about the details of how we carry this out. So this construction is going to involve kind of a mixture of homotopical machinery, i.e. infinity categories, simplicial categories, and model categories. So let me just mention why this is necessary. So, well, it would be nice if we could make everything work just working within the world of infinity categories, but one issue is that this functor, the way we know how to define it, uses this kind of explicit formula for the Lie algebra structure. So, and maybe we're just not being clever enough, and there is some nice universal way of making this as a function of infinity categories. But for now, we only know how to make this using simplicial categories. And another issue is if you want to have these infinity categories of operand algebras. Well, we don't really know how to make them kind of internally to infinity categories yet, because no one's yet developed a theory of enriched infinity operands with where you can actually get the kind of adjunctions between infinity categories of algebras. So the only way we know how to make these guys are using model categories. Okay. I'm not going to dwell too much on that, but I thought it was worth mentioning. So let's just notice that all these categories that I've written down, all categories have kind of simplicial enrichments. In kind of the standard way, by taking the simplicial set of HOM, we'll underline that, HOM blank blank, to be HOM of blank with polynomial differential forms on the simplices, tensor the other blank. And this gives the right, so you just can take these categories and these simplicial enrichments, you get the right infinity categories for chain complexes and Lie algebras and all the other operand algebras. But there's an issue with this quadratic spaces. I want at the infinity category level, I want quad 1 of k to be a pullback of infinity categories. So I can forget down to the underlying chain complex. I'll write script mod of k for that, the infinity category of that. So this will send v omega just to v. Then I have the functor lambda 2. So it takes the second unsymmetric power, again landing in mod k. And I take the slice category. So this sends v to the map omega from lambda 2 v to k shifted by 1. So this should be a pullback square of infinity categories, and kind of the obvious implicital category quad. So I'm going to underline this implicital category, so underlined quad 1 of k. Well, it's a pullback of implicital categories in a similar way, but is not a homotopy pullback of implicital categories. So the most naive way of defining that infinity category as a implicit category doesn't quite work, but it turns out there is a very simple way to fix that. Fix this by taking maps in quad 1k, the category from v omega to v prime omega prime to be, well, a map of chain complexes plus, well, so the obvious thing to do is to say you should have a strictly commutative diagram, lambda 2v to lambda 2v prime, if living over k shifted by 1. But so the fix is just to say that here this doesn't strictly commute, but it commutes up to a specified chain homotopy. And then you can take the natural simplicial enrichment of these guys and you get the correct infinity category, because it sits in a pullback square where you have a vibration of simplicial categories. But now these maps, well, we wanted to make our Heisenberg Liandre functor by taking this functor of simplicial categories coming from this explicit construction, but these maps don't give maps highest one of V omega. Strictly maps of the DGLE algebras. But there's a not so hard way to fix that as well, and that's by instead of using strict maps of Lie algebras, you think of them as L infinity algebras and use kind of weak maps between them. Maybe briefly recall what that means. So that's a result of Hinich, that if I take conal potent co-commutative co-algebras of K, and this has a model structure where all objects are cofibrant. Yes, all objects are cofibrant. And the fibrant objects are the semi-free co-algebras, which is one way of encoding the data of an L infinity algebra. And then the maps of co-algebras between them are the so-called weak maps of L infinity algebras, or also called infinity maps. So this is basically kind of a weaker notion of map, where instead of just having strict maps of Lie algebras, you're allowed to have chain homotopies at various levels. So point is that so Hinge also proves that if we take the bar and cobar constructions, then we have Quillen equivalence from cobar construction. This goes from co-commutative and potent co-algebras over K to the algebras over K. The right adjoint is the bar construction. This is a Quillen equivalence, and I mean, we can again take, let me just say that L infinity of K is the natural simplicial category, underlined, L infinity of K is the simplicial category of the fibrant objects here. And say the underlined of K is the simplicial category of cofibrant Lie algebras. And then, since this omega is a left Quillen functor, it will induce a weak equivalence of simplicial categories from this simplicial category of L infinity algebras to the simplicial category of Lie algebras. And there is a natural extension of this Heisenberg functor to so maybe I should just say that now I've changed to working with unshifted Lie algebras, and of course it's kind of it doesn't really matter, you just, you know, they're equivalent under shifting the underlying chain complex. There's a natural extension of the zero Heisenberg Lie algebra to a simplicial functor from quad zero of K to L infinity of K. And this is given on objects just by taking the omega to the bar construction on the Heisenberg algebra of the omega. And then we can combine that with the cobar construction and land back in Lie algebras. And so notice that omega, so that an object is given by omega B of Heis, and omega B is a cofibrant replacement, so this even has the right homotopical behavior. To which we can apply this enveloping BD algebra functor. So this is kind of the so this is kind of the first step in the construction, and then we want to do this enveloping BD algebra. And this is just induced by a map from a map of operands from like Lie 1 tensor up to KH bar to the BD operand. And this induces a Quillen adjunction from BD is the left adjoint from Lie algebras over K to BD algebras over K. And this is just the forgetful functor. So this kind of describes this functor abstractly, but you can actually give it an explicit description of this left adjoint NBG. And this is stated by Bellinson and Drinfeld without proof, so I should probably consider some kind of folklore result. But this, if we take env BD of a one-shifted Lie algebra G, then what this is it's the underlying graded vector space is the symmetric algebra in G adjoining H bar, and then the differential is kind of generated by saying that on dx tensor y, you have the usual differential dx tensor y plus x tensor dy. Then you add in a new term, x bar times the bracket of xy. Okay. So this is a Coulomb junction, so it induces a simplicial functor from the simplicial categories of five and objects. So like this. Well, because we want to make a functor of infinity categories that makes sense. Well, we don't end up, well, so we end up with the same formula just applied to this cofibrin replacement given by the cobar of the bar construction. So yeah, sure, on objects it's just the right thing, but we want to know that we can make this into a functor of infinity categories in a reasonable way, not just something.
So you apply this to a simplicial D algebra?
To a DG Lie algebra. I have a simplicial category of DG Lie algebras. There's a natural simplicial set of maps between, you know, in chain complexes, there's a natural simplicial set of maps, and that kind of generalizes to DG Lie algebras and everything else here.
Right. No, but what I don't understand about this formula is this seems like what you called before the naive.
Oh, well, this is my functor NVBD, but this is now it's a, but it's a, so it induces a functor if I. It induces a correct functor on the simplicial category if I restrict to cofibrin objects.
I see. So
when I'm writing these simplicial categories, I'm implicitly just restricting myself to the cofibrin objects, because that's when you get the right simplicial category. You know, the
so
map.
Apply to a non-cofibrin algebra.
Yeah, you get something stupid. Yeah, so that is what our functor does. An object, it just takes the cofibrin replacement of the Lie algebra and then takes this guy. But what we gain by doing this whole thing is that we get, well, first of all, by doing some more work with infinity category machinery, we can make these into symmetric monoidal structures, into symmetric monoidal functors. We state this as a theorem that on the infinity category level, well, we have, firstly, we have a functor, just functor from infinity category quadratic spaces with a direct sum to Lie 1 of K, also with a direct sum. This is lax monoidal. And since it's lax monoidal, it'll factor through, well, so it doesn't send the unit here to the unit here. But it'll factor through modules over what the unit gets sent to, which is kind of the one-dimensional vector space KC equipped with the trivial Lie bracket. And this is just equipped with kind of direct sum over KC. And this functor to modules is not just lax monoidal, but it's strong monoidal. And then this enveloping algebra functor from Lie 1 algebras, direct sum to BD algebras, tensor product, this is also strong monoidal. And then, so this is not completely obvious because these are not monoidal model categories. So you have to play around a bit, and this really only makes sense on the infinity category level. You don't have these modal structures properly at the simplicial or the model category level. Corollary, we have strong symmetric monoidal functors. So from chord one to modulus KC and V1 to modulus over where this KC gets sent to over here, which is Polynomial algebra KC H bar with trivial Poisson bracket in D. And then we can set C equal to H bar equal to 1 and land in E0 algebras over K. And we can set C equal to 1, H bar equal to 0 and land in P0 algebras over K. So this is kind of our construction of this linear free BV quantization. Free meaning that there's, you know, we just have these pairings. This is kind of like a very simple form of a field theory. There are no like interaction terms, so I'm not even going to try and explain that. I don't understand it. So we have this, but this construction works not just for K, but for, say, DG modules over any, so we still have to be over a base field of characteristic 0, but we can work over any commutative differential graded algebra A over K. And well, the only thing that breaks is that we don't have this model structure of Hinich, but we can sort of, you know, the functor still makes sense, and we can still do omega B of something is still like a Cauchy replacement. So everything basically works out the same. And then, moreover, these infinity categories here all satisfy tall descent if I vary the algebra. That follows from Jacob Lurie's descent theorem for infinity categories of modules. You can kind of, from that, you can derive descent for infinity categories of operand algebras. And so, as a corollary of this, we have that if we have any derived stack X, then we have symmetric monoidal functors from quasi-coherent sheaves of quad one objects to quasi-coherent sheaves of Lie algebras, and so forth. So you get a version of this quantization that takes a quasi-coherent sheaf equipped with a quasi-coherent sheaf on X equipped with an antisymmetric pairing of degree 1 to a quasi-coherent sheaf of E0 algebras. So maybe the best thing to say is that the whole thing works in families in a nice way. And you know, this is kind of a good way of quantizing vector spaces, but it's not really, you know, you could apply this to the cotangent complex of a symplectic derived stack, but it's not really going to be the right notion of quantization for a stack. That's not going to be anything this simple. Also mention a result from Owen's thesis, which says, in this setting, it says that if I have an A and Artinian commutative DG algebra of K and V omega, it's a quadratic space, but it's actually it's a one symplectic space, so this pairing is actually non-degenerate with the underlying chain complex of V being imperfect, then this BV quantization, I should give this a name, so I'll call this composite here the BV quantization landing in E0 algebras. This guy, V omega, is an invertible chain complex over K, over A.
minus one symplectric?
I mean the one one. No, I don't. These are kind of the one symplectic ones, but somehow, what you should think of is that if you have something minus one symplectic, then you want to dualize it. So the relation between the symplectic setting and this is that you want to dualize the vector space, and you know what we're kind of quantizing is the polynomial algebra, so the symmetric algebra of the dual. So it's kind of like the functions on the original chain complex that was symplectic.
So I really think it is minus one symplectric, and when you dualize it, you get the Poisson bracket of degree plus one.
Yes, that's what I mean. So, but I want to say think of this as living already in this quad one of K. So, but they're equivalent. I mean. Well, yeah, maybe just say that that omega should be non-degenerate.
That's
right. It's kind of acts like a determinant on these perfect complexes. You get something invertible, and if you under a sum, you get something that's tensors. So we went to all this trouble to make this symmetric monoidal functor of infinity categories, and what does this buy us? Well, buys us a functor that we might call higher BV quantization. Oh, still linear, of course. So we have seen that we can start with a P0 algebra and get out E0 algebra. And kind of the classical notion of quantization is that you start with an unshifted Poisson algebra, which is in this gradient convention a P1 algebra, and you turn it into an associative or E1 algebra. So you might guess that there should be a way of turning PN algebras into EN algebras. And the point is that such a construction is induced by our symmetric monoidal functor. So you can construct if you have C a nice symmetric monoidal infinity category, and there exists a symmetric monoidal infinity N category. I'll call it Alge N of C, where so the objects are EN algebras in C, and the one morphisms are EN minus one algebras in bimodules in C. And so on, in the end, N morphisms are bimodules in bimodules in bimodules in C. I have a kind of algebraic construction of this, and Damien and Claudia Scheinbauer have a version using factorization algebras that sort of was in Claudia's thesis. But now we can. So, with that precise meaning of nice, the point is that our functor of BV quantization can just be plugged into this machinery, and we get that. The quantization functor induces symmetric monoidal functors of infinity n categories. From alt n in quad one. So I'm gonna be lazy and skip the modules over blah 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 from the notation and just say alt n in D algebras. And then D algebras. zero. So what's going on here? Well, suddenly, if you just look at the objects which are EN algebras, then EN algebras in E0 of K, well, that's obviously just EN algebras. And EN algebras in Lie 1 algebras are Lie 1 minus N shifted Lie algebras. So this is something we learned from Nick Rosenblum. And EN algebras in P0 algebras, well, these are PN algebras. This is again a theorem of Nick, and we might hear about it tomorrow. Sorry? Okay. I don't know. Interesting. And also, I was going to call this a conjecture, but Nick tells me he can prove this too. So EN algebras in quad 1, okay, give you quad 1 minus N, so shifted pairings. And you can also identify, say, bimodules in this quad 1 with kind of a notion of, well, it's kind of the vector space notion version of a coisotropic cospan, which has been considered by, I guess, Pavel Safronov and Kalakpantev, Twenwaki, and Mitsosi. So I guess you said you could prove this too. And kind of analogous statement all over here. So this, you know, this machinery produces this functor of infinity n categories, and we have these interesting interpretations of what it's doing on the space of objects, on all the mapping spaces. You know, it starts with kind of n-fold coisotropic cospans, and you end up with kind of EN algebras and iterated bimodules over them. So we expect this to, you know, give you the right thing in other senses. Like, for example, we see that we have an induced functor from Lie 1 minus N algebras over K to EN algebras over K. And this should agree with the enveloping EN algebra functor that was worked out by Ben Knudsen. And then if we take the composite from quad 1 minus N of K to, again, EN of K, this should be the same as this, should be the N, what is it called, the Weyl N algebra. That's kind of due to Markarian. Preprint from last year. So both of these constructions use factorization algebras to define them. And so far this construction we have with the functor is completely algebraic, but there is kind of a natural factorization algebra interpretation that we want to work out later. So we have this construction of infinity n categories. And so be a little more speculative. You might ask for, might expect, well, so let me mention that in a joint work with myself and Daniel Kalak and Scheinbauer, construct in symmetric monoidal infinity n category of Lagrangian correspondences, so we call it Lag infinity n k, and I'll put lin. There's a nonlinear version too, but that what's relevant here is just the linear version, so we'll have objects and k symplectic chain complexes, and then one morphisms, Lagrangian correspondences, and then kind of n-fold Lagrangian correspondences, it's the n-morphisms. So, yeah, maybe I should say that Oren and Lino Amorim construct kind of a bi-category version of this when n equals 2. Also, not linear, but so what we would like to construct is that it's kind of a functor that takes duals. So taking duals should give a functor of infinity n categories from this Lagrangian category. So then I want to put here n minus 1. Linear 2 holds n 1, and so kind of the main result that I'm working towards in this project with Kalak and Scheinbauer is that we get, so in the linear case for v n minus 1 symplectic, I guess here a classical TQ of T, so a functor from the infinity n category of Bordisms, oriented Bordisms, to this linear Lagrangian guy. And so if we had this, so this is kind of the classical TQ of T induced by V. So if we had this dualizing functor, we land in algebra n for quad 1 and apply this functor to get to, say, alt n of the zero algebras. Now this whole thing would be kind of a quantized TQ of T. So in this simple linear picture, we would have this quite nice picture where we have a classical TQ of T and we quantize it by doing this composition. Yeah, well, so the idea is, so if I have V omega n symplectic, then I can take the dual and I can use the equivalence induced by omega to pull back omega to minus n symplectic pairing here. And so then if you have a Lagrangian correspondence, say L from V to W, you can take duals. You get in particular a cospan. And the structure induced by the Lagrangian correspondence on this is this kind of coisotropic cospan structure. So this guy has a symplectic structure, Poisson structure in the degree shifted by 1, and it's compatible with these if you pull it back. Yeah, that was the end. No. I mean, just Well, and you could imagine taking, even if, if you took the direct sum of two things, then you'd like that to go to, that should be like the product, so it should be preserved. So you'd like that to go to the derived tensor product and so forth. And I don't know if it's a good example. I don't think I have a specific example other than that in general, if you have a less equivalent functor, it's not going to preserve weak equivalences except between cofiber and objects.
So before we think we're going to get express or say that there'll be a conference photo after the talk this afternoon. So other than that, let's thank Renee again.